God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should you stay or should you go?
Friel, don't ever do that again. Okay, this is Wretched Radio, the internet conversation that's boiling right now, which, by the way, there are very few internet conversations that should be boiling. Might I suggest to you as a rule, if you find yourself seeing those things happening where it's like hot, 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 and some severe language, you might want to think about like removing yourself from that, because that's just not the way we should be dealing with these issues. There's a way to stand firm without being angry at the opponent. There is a way to do that. Speaking truth in love, truth and grace, they must both exist. So if you're finding yourself out in the internet world, being embroiled in these conversations, being worked up by them because they're really like, yeah, these people, they gotta... might not be the healthiest place to listen to a Christian disagreement. The question, though, is valid because the Charlie Kirk assassination was a big deal. It is a big deal. It represents a lot. And there are very few people that didn't feel it. And a pastor has a decision to make. Does this issue rise to the level of addressing it, or does his church theology, his ecclesiology, and his understanding of homiletics, how he should be preaching, dictate, no, I know it's a big deal, but I just can't bring that in. And this is a perennial situation because these types of things keep happening. Okay, so let's just go back historically for a moment. It's World War II. The A-bomb drops. Kind of a big deal. Should a pastor address it from the pulpit? Now, I would suggest you, I personally think, if his sheep are struggling with it, confused by it, need comfort because of it, I believe that an expository sermon, even if it's in part or in whole, can be set aside so that the pastor can shepherd the herding sheep. Now, that's what I think. All right. There's going to be different pastors that disagree. So you got to weigh these issues. And some people are going to have a different scale than others. The question is it sufficient cause to call for people to leave a church that doesn't address a really big issue? And so I think it's right. And if you look back in Wretched, we'll go back into our archives. We have talked about the subject dozens of times. The question is, should you stay or should you go? Should you be one who works through it, or should you take the time to sort through it? I wonder what Phil Johnson would say about this.
My pastor appears to be kind of becoming pragmatic, seeker sensitive. Okay, maybe not that bonkers, but you know, he's lost the suit and tie. He had a lot of hair gel, a lot of product going on there. We're showing movie theater clips. He's not really saying anything wrong. Do I leave the church?
No, I wouldn't necessarily. That wouldn't be my first step to leave the church.
Okay.
I might. I mean, what you're describing there does suggest an appalling sort of philosophy of ministry and a direction that I wouldn't want to pursue. And so in the end, yeah, I might leave the church, but that wouldn't be my first step. My first step would be to go to him and say, look, I'm concerned, and give him biblical reasons why this is a concern. And I wouldn't just say, well, you put too much product in your hair. That's not a good reason to leave the church. But if the product in his hair was something he himself had emphasized and, you know, made a big deal out of or whatever, then I would ask him, what's the motive behind that? What are you thinking about that? Why do you think that somehow enhances your ministry? What do you expect your ministry to be? What does hair product have to do one way or the other with edification and teaching and the things that God has called you as a pastor to do to shepherd the flock of God.
Does that surprise you that when you see an issue, first response should not be to depart? Now, I know the issue of hair gel on a pastor and preaching about Charlie Kirk aren't exactly the same. But I think what Phil is saying to us is don't just respond to this thing. You've got to spend time with the pastor talking through it. And by the way, it must be done deferentially. You say, well, why should I have a conversation with him if he just gets to decide what's, you know, who's right and who's wrong? Because that's his role. He's an authority. And so when we approach the pastor on these issues, it you don't need to kiss a ring, but we need to remember that God has placed them there to shepherd you. And he does have some authority in your life based on biblical definitions. The Bible draws those boundaries because the pastor has no authority in and of himself, only as he represents and applies the Bible to your life. So when you talk to him, hey, pastor, just exactly what Phil was saying. Tell me, why didn't you preach about Charlie Kirk? I'm just wondering, a lot of people did, you didn't. How come? And imagine if you just left the church and the guy goes, well, you know what? I know. I had the sermon in the can and there's an issue in the church that I'm dealing with and I didn't want to distract from that, but my plan is to do it next week. And you would have laughed because he was delaying a week because he knows stuff that we don't know. So before you go, please talk to your pastor. And I would say to those who threw down the gauntlet and encouraged people to leave immediately over this, I would encourage you to consider a number of things. One, the autonomy of the local church. I don't have authority over any church. I have no right or business to tell a guy what to preach on Sunday morning. Now, can I express I have a theological disagreement? Absolutely. Can I tell people in his flock what to do? Especially with, now there's times when you actually could, you know, somebody comes to you and it's like, hey, what do you think I should do in this situation? Because you know the details. But to make a generalized statement, any pastor who did not preach on this subject on Sunday is not fit for ministry. I think you're overstepping. I think you're overstepping. I'd also ask you to consider the life of that church. What does your dictate do to the health of that body? Third consideration, what about the man himself? It's very easy to talk about a group of people and fail to remember that it's actual individuals that we're talking about. This guy has probably sacrificed a lot to be in pastoral ministry. He loves his sheep. He's striving to do his best. He prays over being a fit elder. So when a YouTuber comes along and makes a proclamation, this guy isn't fit. Oof, 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 oof. Now, having said that, could this be the straw that breaks your back? And the answer to that is a definitive maybe. But it's got to be a cautious maybe. If the Charlie issue is your only complaint, I don't think you have sufficient grounds to go. But if this is bugging you, you need to go talk to them. And if you discover, you know what, this is deeper, it's more systemic, there are other things going on here, and there are other issues of significance, then this might be a big enough reason because it's a part of a larger problem. Now, you might be asking, so what are valid reasons to leave your church? Glad you asked. I spent time talking to a pastor, author, radio guy, Mike Fabares. Good pastor, Orange County, Compass Bible. And I'm going to share with you that conversation at the end of this diatribe because I think it'll help you make wise decisions about staying or leaving a church. But before that, let me try to find a path and share my personal and always 100% correct opinion about preachers who won't preach on current events. And I say it's 100% correct because I am a talk show host. So let me share my opinion about the pastors who won't and those who abandon their churches because they won't. So let's start with the pastor. If you refuse to ever incorporate current events into your service, I would simply try to encourage you to consider some things. I love a high view of expository preaching, Christ-centered services. I'm there with you, brother, but let me just try to reason with you that it isn't only okay to sometimes preach on something else when needed, but even how you might be able to do that without violating your conscience. Because there's different ways of doing this. I do think that some events are so impactful on the body. The shepherd who wants to help heal and guide his flock should not ignore that pain. I think the pulpit, if we believe that the pulpit drives the church and is the balm that they need, well, then we should be applying it directly when there is some sort of national calamity that's affecting everybody. Do you need to address every situation around the world? Of course not. But when a tragedy hits home or close to home, and the majority of her sheep are hurt or frightened, I believe that is sufficient reason to find a way to address it on Sunday. In other words, I side with Luther on this. I think you can. Now, for the pastor, how can you do that? Next on Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus groove, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come, let us reason together. Lovingly, this is Wretched Radio. The Charlie Kirk assassination has had a ripple effect. I think we should have anticipated this would happen. Loud voices, and they're loud. I don't mean that they're wrong just because of their volume. I'm just saying they're quite strong in their opinion. The pastors who didn't preach about Charlie Kirk on Sunday, they should be abandoned. You should leave that church. Woofta, that's a big proclamation. And we've been trying to make our way through the issue by discussing five big ideas, five principles that I think guide us through that. And now we're talking to the pastor who is not willing to talk about any current event because of their principles. I honor that. I respect that. But I believe personally, there are times when it is perfectly fine for a pastor to engage in an issue because it is so impacting the sheep. And for those pastors that struggle with, let me suggest, there are three ways you can include current events without taking the spotlight off of Jesus, which is where the spotlight must always be. First, you could just prepare remarks before you begin your text. So the service has happened, time for you to preach. Before you jump into the text, you could address it. I saw, for instance, Johnny Artavanis do just that and do it very well. He addressed the needs of the sheep as a shepherd. I think he had 11 responses to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And then he moved into his text and began the sermon, if you will. Others, like me at Alpharetta Bible Church, we use the text to comment when appropriate. My text providentially lent itself to that, so I could. Now, do I think an entire sermon should be dedicated to anyone other than Jesus? I'm not comfortable with that, but I do think that if you dedicated an entire sermon going away from your text for the week, then it should be about the hurt and the needs of the people, not the event itself and turning it into a commentary on social issues, but in order to minister to the people who are struggling. So I think that you can weave it in without totally setting aside your text. Should you choose to set aside your text, and some guys did, they chose to, I would say to you, was Jesus still the center of it? Were the needs of your people being addressed? Or did it sound like, well, just a commentary that you might catch on YouTube or on Fox News? Now, if that didn't persuade you, Pastor, there's some other alternative ways of shepherding your sheep that I don't think will compromise your ecclesiology and your homiletics. You could consider talking about this before the service begins, however many minutes. Start early. Start, you know, take out maybe a stanza of a hymn. I know that might hurt you, but and take that time to talk about this before the service begins. You could also invite people to stick around after the service to see if they, hey, do you want to talk about this? We're here. We're going to talk about it. Now, there might be, I don't know how many people, what percentage might just say, let's go to brunch, honey. Cracker Barrel's waiting. Do we go to Cracker Barrel? I can't remember anymore. They're not interested in it. So they're dismissed from it. And those who really want to talk about it will really stay. You could even, here's another alternative, call your church together. If you think the event is that impactful, hey, I think this happened on a Wednesday. Was it Wednesday last week? Hey, everybody, email. We're meeting tonight at the church. Come join us. Let's work through this issue together, body of Christ. That's an alternative. I think those should be considered by you. I can't mandate that. If I did, I would encourage you to tell me, step off, pal, step off, because I have no authority over another man in what he does in the pulpit. I would simply ask you to consider it. And finally, to those who have decided to leave because your pastor chose not to preach on this, please don't run out the door. Please show up on Sunday. I'm assuming this guy's a faithful shepherd and there are no other substantial issues in your church. So please don't go. Calm your heart. Pray about it. Consider the totality of his ministry. Think about all the people that you would be leaving. Get your thoughts together and then approach him to spend some time talking about it, not in an adversarial way, but to do it in a way that seeks his best and the best of the body. Take him to lunch or coffee and then ask him questions. So, Pastor, this is what I wanted to ask you about. How come you didn't address this issue on Sunday? I'd love to know your thinking on that. That's what we should be doing all the time. There's time to leave churches. We'll define those. We've got a video posted of me talking about this with Mike Fabares. There's times to do that. I get that, but not all the time. And these days, the tendency is we leave sooner rather than later. I would encourage you, if you leave without talking to your godly shepherd, without knowing why they did what they did, you're going to break his heart. And I think you're going to be wounding the body and yourself. Please don't run out the door. If you would like a more thorough treatment, or should I stay or should I go now? We've got a ton of videos. I'll just go to the YouTube machine. Type in wretched, leave a church. Because, okay, I happen to have that queued up providentially. So I typed in wretched, leave church. Should you leave your church? That was from 4 years ago. When to stay and when to flee your church? That was 2 years ago. My conversation with Phil. Sorry, my eyes are a little, I don't have my glass. 11 years ago. When should I leave my church? Here's one with Vodi from 12 years ago. This is when you should leave your church. All right. Here's another one. Sorry, some cowboy show got inserted into that. What are those cowboy people doing in the wretched leave your church thing? Is it time to leave your church? That was from 9 years ago. This is how you're supposed to. That's a different Vodi thing. Why you should not leave the church. That was done 3 years ago. Why so many people leave their church? 6 years ago. There are some churches you need, all caps, we were yelling. There are some churches you need to leave. Here's how to know if yours is one. Okay, so go to the YouTube machine. And this is, I think, a subject that we all do well to ponder, especially before you hit the bumps that certainly every church experiences. We need to be big thinkers on this subject. I have a tendency to get pretty my guts just, that's it. You said that or did this or whatever. Why didn't they? And I don't think that we should be that way. I think we need to be more thoughtful, more slow. And if I might, perhaps an encouragement for how we view pastors. You say, I'm taking sides. I'm trying not to. The whole point of this is I'm not taking sides. I've already tried to encourage pastors who just feel uncomfortable preaching about social issues or current events from their pulpit. I've already tried to encourage them without telling them. I've also tried to encourage those who are being pretty demanding about this to maybe reconsider your position. Because the pastor, you should try to someday be a fly on the wall with a group of pastors who get together, especially those that maybe know each other, have a history, and listen to their hearts. Do you know what they talk about when they're getting together? They're talking about you, and not in a gossipy kind of way. They want good. Again, I'm not talking about every pastor. I'm talking about the good guys that are just faithfully preaching. Right? Whatever level you think their preaching is at, they're faithfully handling the text. They're desiring for the sheep to be well fed. You got a good church. And we need to honor these men and the autonomy of the local church. So all that to say, maybe we need to let the culture stop dictating some of the opinions that we have and expressing them as quickly as we do. Jimmy?
Yes?
You got anything to add to this?
Absolutely nothing. The only thing I would say was just to reiterate what you've said all along. You might leave, but it's got to be a super slow decision.
Yeah, these guys are laboring through, and it does hurt the church. Now, I get it. You have to protect your family. That's why we provided all these video links, or you can go find all these video links at YouTube. Work through it, because as you heard in some of these descriptors, there are some churches you need to leave. You know, so there are some heretical churches, wacky prosperity NAR churches. I'm talking about the good guys who are being faithful. Please honor that man. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.